So we took a few moments at the end of this meditation to look back over the past year in the service of recognizing our blessings, cultivating gratitude, cultivating appreciation for our own goodness and the goodness around us in the world. This is always a time, of course, New Year's, when there's looking back over the past year. It's been very interesting this year to notice the way the culture, our culture, often as it's expressed through the media, has engaged in this process of looking back this year over the past few weeks. It's been so apparent to me, this kind of sentiments that have been expressed in the media to a large extent along the lines of, this has been such a terrible year, this has been such an awful year. You don't just see it just in the media too. I've even noticed it amongst certain Dharma teachers talking about how it's been such an awful year and a terrible year. Sometimes, of course, Dharma teachers with their creativity put a little spin on it. It's been a terrible year, but you know, we have hope for the future. But as Dharma students, we don't subscribe to this idea that our experience of life is anything but joyful. We don't engage in this kind of narrative. You know, often as we're, as people are thinking about the year, if you will, they're of course reflecting on the things of the world. If it's the politics or the economy or, you know, the different things about the media or the different things, way things are in their lives, or if it's the weather or whatever it is. And that's what is important, of course, to many people. And if things aren't going their way in terms of these things of the world, then it's not good. It's a bad year. As Dharma students, we strive not to look at things this way. We don't go along with the ways of the world. We don't look for happiness in the things that the world looks for happiness in. We live in the world, but we don't follow the ways of the world. We live in the world, but we don't follow the ways of the world. So we don't mark our happiness by the way things are in the world. We mark our happiness by our actions. Quality of our actions in terms of the actions that we take that are informed by compassion and love. Because as Dharma students, we don't lay the responsibility for happiness on things that lie outside of us. We don't lay the responsibility for happiness on things that are external to us. We call these things the ways of the world. We don't lay the responsibility for our happiness on the different sense pleasures of the world, the things that we might get, the possessions that we have. As Dharma students, we take responsibility for our happiness. Our happiness is our responsibility, and it's dependent on what we do, not on what others do. Which to me is a good thing. I don't want to have to be dependent on others for my happiness. I don't want to be dependent on the world for my happiness. I don't want to be dependent on the weather for my happiness. I don't want to be dependent on the politics for my happiness. I don't want to be dependent on anything outside of myself for my happiness. I mean, I need the support of other beings, but I'm not dependent on other beings. We're not dependent on other beings. We become dependent on other beings and the way things are in the world Our happiness becomes, it's out of our hands. And what the Buddha came to understand was that our happiness is our responsibility. Our happiness is dependent on what we do, and our lives are what we make them to be. And that's what determines our happiness. That's what determines on whether we suffer or not, not on what others do or the way the world is. If we've lived this year with an open heart, this has been a good year. This has been a good year. The opportunity that we've had over this past year to live in this human body and in this human experience is so precious and so extraordinary that it really can't have been anything but a good year. If we've lived with an open heart, with love, with compassion, if we've taken joy in our blessings, this is what brings about happiness in this life. This is where our happiness lies. So what we like to say is, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Every moment of this life offers us an opportunity for happiness. Every moment. In every moment, there's an opportunity for happiness in this life. The happiness of the heart. That's that Buddha's happiness. It's the happiness of the heart. And every moment offers us an opportunity to know that happiness. Or we could call it the happiness of the Dhamma, the truth, the way things are. The inherent goodness and happiness in life. Thai teachers like to say the Dhamma is a kaliko. Goodness is a kaliko. It's part of the ever-present truth. It's always there. It's always there. Goodness is always there. Happiness is always there. Joy is always there. Love is always there. It's a kaliko. It's always there. Our job is to know it. Our job is to know it. That's why we meditate. That's why we meditate. We don't meditate just to meditate. We meditate so we know the happiness of this life. I recalled a few weeks ago in our regular Sunday class what my teacher's Thanissaro Bhikkhu, his teacher was Ajahn Phuong. Ajahn Phuong's teacher was Ajahn Lee, great master in Thailand, and Ajahn Phuong used to say about Ajahn Lee, he showed me the brightness of the world. So the world is inherently bright. Ajahn Lee, through showing Ajahn Phuong how to meditate, showed him the brightness of the world. Life is good, but life is also short. Another thing that we, of course, see at the end of the year, you know, it's like the people who died this year. Every year people die. You ever notice that? Sometimes it's people that we know. Sometimes it's people that we're very close to. Life is really short. Life is really short. Are we going to sit around and wait for good things to happen? Are we going to sit around and wait for the political or economic circumstances to be that we want them to be? Are we going to sit around and wait? As Dharma students, we don't wait for external things to go our way. We know that life is short and that our job is to pay attention to this moment and find happiness in this moment, right now. Right now. That's why we practice the Dharma. Zen Master Dogen said, this life of one day is a life to rejoice in. Because of this, even though you live for just one day, if you can be awakened to the truth that one day is vastly superior to an eternal life, if this one day in the lifetime of 100 years is lost, will you ever get your hands on it again? So as Dharma students, we understand the preciousness of every day. Every day. We don't squander our days complaining. We don't squander our days hoping that somewhere, sometime along the line, things will be better. That's how I always live my life. You know, I always live my life. My life isn't what I want it to be. My life sucks, but someday I'll be happy. Someday I'll be happy. Someday I'll be happy. So there's that quality of kind of hope. Someday I'll be happy. You know, and then at some point I said, I can't wait around for someday to happen. You know, it's sort of like we don't make the effort to make the most of our lives, so we seek to provide solace for ourselves by telling ourselves that someday it'll be better. First of all, someday is, you know, it's certainly not guaranteed. Second of all, when we have that kind of attitude, we're forgetting our primary responsibility as Dharma students, which is to this moment and to finding happiness in this moment. I always like to say that, you know, sort of the paradox of being a Dharma student or a meditator is, or on any spiritual path, is that it takes a long time to develop your path. You know, but what we're asked to do at the same time is find happiness in the moment. So what the Buddha said, just like what Ajahn Lee and Ajahn Fuwang said, there is a brightness in the world inside of us. There's a brightness in the world inside of us. You know, this was really brought out, of course, when he was dying, the last days of his life. You know, and people, in particular, his beloved aide, Ananda, said to him, what are we going to do? You're not going to be here. What are we going to do without you? Buddha said, you don't need me. You don't need me for happiness. Be a light unto yourself. Be a lamp unto yourself. Be lamps unto yourselves. Be refuges unto yourselves. Take yourself to no external refuge. Take yourself to no external refuge. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Hold fast to the truth as a refuge. And the truth is always there. The Dharma is always there. It's a kalika. That's our refuge. That's our light. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Hold fast to the truth as a refuge. Look not for refuge in anyone besides yourself. And those, Ananda, who either now or after I am dead, shall be a lamp unto themselves, shall betake themselves to no external refuge, but holding fast to the truth as their lamp, holding fast to the truth as their refuge, shall not look to refuge to anyone else besides themselves. It is they who shall reach the very topmost height. One of the things the Buddha used to do, one of his rules was when his students studied with him, after 5 years, he set them off out on their own because he didn't want them to become dependent on him. The story of Ananda is really interesting because Ananda was his aide, and Ananda was so dependent on the Buddha that he never reached the level of awakening that many of the other disciples did. After the Buddha died. Ananda was very distraught about the fact that he had never reached awakening, and everybody else seemed to, but he was too dependent on the Buddha. It wasn't only until after the Buddha died that he took things into his own hands and became a light unto himself. So as Dharma students, we don't look to others for our happiness. By the same token, we don't blame others for our unhappiness. We don't blame the circumstances in the world, the things of the world, for our unhappiness. Those things aren't the cause of our unhappiness. Those things aren't the cause of our unhappiness. It's what we do that's the cause of our unhappiness. I mean, all the Buddha's teaching rests on that notion. We chanted that, right? Born of my actions, dependent on my actions. We don't look to others for happiness. We don't look to the things of the world for our happiness. We don't look to the world things of the world being a certain way for our happiness. We look to ourselves. We look to what's inside of ourselves. We develop what's inside of ourselves. And we make the most of our lives. So really, ultimately, what it comes down to is doing something. We have to do something. In a lot of ways, we'd rather not do something or do anything or take action and then blame others for our unhappiness, because they haven't taken the actions that we would like them to take. But our happiness is dependent ultimately, as we chanted, on the actions that we take. So my message to you all for this coming year of 2018 is do something. Do something. Take action. We tend to be afraid to take action. We tend to lack confidence in ourselves. Well, that's another reason why we practice the Dharma, so that we can develop conviction in our hearts, so that we can know our hearts, so that we can know the love and the compassion in our hearts. We develop conviction in the skills that we train in. We're developing skills as Dharma students in the service of being able to take action in the world, to shine our light in the world, to take action. So we have to step outside the limited view we have of ourselves. We all have extraordinary potential for happiness, but it has to be developed through training the heart and taking action. So can we realize our potential? Something always interested me, even before I became a full-fledged Dharma student, you know, where they would always say, you know, as a human being, you use about 0.3% of your potential. You know, it's like, can I utilize more of my potential? Can I take this potential that I have as a human being and put it to good use? How can I do that? Well, then, finally, I came to this practice and began to start to see that it showed me a way that I could do that. Because I always knew that I had some kind of potential for happiness. And I think we all kind of know that. I'm not talking about potential to be, you know, a great tuba player. You know, we're talking about potential for happiness. You know, most of us have experienced some kind of true happiness in our lives, oftentimes when we were a child. We all have this potential for extraordinary happiness. So it always interested me, how can I bring that to fruition? This is a practice about bringing things to fruition. So my encouragement to you all for this year is take action. If you want happiness in this life, this is the way to it, by taking action. Now, of course, we learn to train the heart, you know, so that we can discern. Discernment is knowing what you need to do to be happy. Loving kindness is doing it. It's the movement of the heart through which we take action. But if we want happiness in this life, the way to happiness is through taking action. Happiness doesn't come when all the externals match up the way that we want them to. It's just not going to happen. And even if it did, we wouldn't be happy. It's no guarantee of our happiness. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Buddha's story is so telling, because he pretty much had all the externals, but he still didn't have happiness. What he found was that happiness was inside, true happiness. So my encouragement to you is to take action. Happiness isn't going to happen just because you meditate. Meditation should lead us to taking action. So take action. You know, be a lamp unto yourselves. Let your light shine.